Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast, the place to be for drama teachers, drama students, and theater educators everywhere. I'm Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello, I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. This is episode 156, 156, and you can find any links to this episode in the show notes, which are at theaterfolk.com/episode156. Today is a Lindsay and Craig talk. Lindsay and Craig. That's Lindsay Price, me, and Craig Mason, co-owner of Theater Folk and my co-cohort. Is that a word? Cohort in crime. And we had a unique theatrical experience a while back. So we saw the same show twice, a couple days after each other. We saw Les Mis with two different actors in the lead role, two different Jean Valjeans, one on his closing night and one on his opening night. So what were the similarities? What were the differences? Did we like one more than the other? Is there room for actor interpretation in a long-running show like Les Mis? So many questions! I bet we have answers! I hope we have answers. We better have something, you know, otherwise it'd be a pretty short podcast. So let's find out.
All right. Let me set the scene. So this is Lindsay. Hello, everybody. I'm also here with Craig Mason.
Hello, everybody.
It is 10:45 p.m. on a Tuesday night. And we are in New York City. And we have just come back to the hotel after seeing Les Miserables for the second time in 2 days. Now, there is a very specific reason why we have seen seen Les Mis twice. And I'm going to turn this over to Craig. Craig, why did we decide to come to New York specifically to see Les Mis basically two times in a row? We saw it Sunday afternoon, and then we saw it Tuesday night.
A few months ago, I was looking at the theater area in Reddit, and there was a mention that Alfie Beau was coming in to play Jean Valjean in Les Mis. And one of the comments on it was Ramin Karimloo was the existing Jean Valjean, and he was leaving the show, and Alfie Beau was coming in. And one of the comments on the post was, wouldn't it be amazing to be able to go see closing night for Ramin Karimloo and then come back 2 days later to see Alfie Beau do it? And
you said, hey, Lindsay.
This little light bulb went over my head, and I thought, wow, that would be kind of cool to see. And so we checked our calendar, and the trip is very tight against some other plans we have, but we were able to squeeze it all in, and here we are.
Yeah, we were like, well, you know, we won't be able to do this because the tickets will be extraordinary. Nope, the tickets were pretty much normal. Okay, is the time going to fit? Yep, the time fits. And here we are. Craig, what was the first time you were exposed to Alfie Beau?
I first knew of Alfie Beau from watching the 25th anniversary production of Les Miserables that was showing on PBS. And I was actually never really a fan of the show, but when it was around, I was in theater school, and I was in that phase where anything that had more than, you know, five lights in it was like a mega musical and was not cool, because we were doing these shows with like chairs and like flashlights, and that was cool. So I was never really a fan of the show, and I did see it actually in, I don't know if it was the original production, but when was the original production? 82?
You mean not Toronto?
No, the Broadway production.
When you were in New York your summer?
Yes.
That was 89?
Something like that.
89?
Anyway, I saw that production and I didn't think anything of it at all. But I, again, I mean, I got student rush seats and I was like in the back of the third balcony, so I really couldn't see and I already had a bad attitude and there you go. So, but anyway, when that 25th anniversary show came on, I was really captivated by it, namely by Alfie Beau's portrayal of Jean Valjean and Ramin Karimloo, who played Enjolras in that production. So I thought it would be just amazing to actually see Karimloo do Valjean and then see Alfie Beau do it.
You know, it's kind of funny because we have the same opinion of the show because I remember, and here we go, I am about to date myself, but I was 17 years old and I got the tape. I got the tape of Les Mis, and I remember wearing out that tape because it was, I thought the songs in isolation were awesome. And then I went to university and through circumstance was able to see the Toronto production twice. And I'm not going to say I hated it, but I certainly did not play that tape very much after that. Because I found the show long, and I found the show repetitive, and the revolve, this was the old show where there was a revolve, and that was okay, and I found the ensemble not captivating. I didn't find it captivating. I didn't find Javert's death captivating when I absolutely did in song, when I had that tape and I was playing it. So there was, it's really funny. There was nothing about the show in its origins that attracted me. And then the same thing, because this 25th anniversary was a concert version, right? Was concert version, right?
Yes.
Yes. And so there were so many things that were great about it. And we're not going to talk about Nick Jonas as Marius. We'll just let that slide. So here we are. And so let's talk about the show that we saw on Sunday afternoon, because there were a lot of extenuating circumstances about the show that we saw, one of which, of course, was Ramin was leaving and Cosette was also leaving and Fontaine was leaving. So
yes, and I think there were also some other ensemble members, too. So it very much was a closing night for a great many of them.
And if you really got the sense that it was the closing night of a family. I think most of these people had been around the show. It was very clear that this was a cohesive bunch.
Yes, they seemed like a very tight-knit family.
And then there was an actual tragedy that was also layered on top of this. The young man.
His last name is Jean-Baptiste.
Jean-Baptiste. So he was the understudy for Jean Valjean. He was the youngest understudy.
When he went on, he was the youngest person to ever play Jean Valjean on Broadway. He was 21 years old, and he was also the first black person to play Jean Valjean on Broadway. So quite a groundbreaking achievement for this young man.
And the tragedy was that so we saw the show on Sunday. On Friday night, he fell from a fire escape and he died. And I can't, so think about that. So the young man has died. There were two shows on Saturday that this group would have had to have done. And then we saw the show on Sunday, which was not only a fresh tragedy, but goodbyes.
Mm-hmm. And in a show that is full of death and loss and mourning and questioning the value of life and questioning what happens after you die, all this layered on made for quite an emotional afternoon.
And I'm not a fan of. I remember we saw a production, the touring production. Oh, I don't know. Must have been last year. It came through Buffalo, and it was fine. It was a really good serviceable production, very fast paced, and I remember the second act being long, and I think it was always like, ugh, because that's Marius and Cosette. We get more Marius and Cosette, and I don't need that. I have to say, the Marius in this production. Let me look at the page again. His name is Chris something. They do this in order. Marius, Chris McCarroll. He's a rock star. He sang Empty Chairs and Empty Tables. I've never I've never been more moved by this song. Certainly not when Nick Jonas sang it. And I've never been more, it just never had more poignancy for a song about goodbyes and wasted goodbyes. And it was very clear that he was motivated by life and yet still in the character. And it was just, the whole thing was a magical moment. It's one of those theatrical magical moments that we talk about all the time. It's the reason why we do theater. And the problem is you cannot manufacture those moments. You cannot make them happen. So when they happen, they're always by surprise. And they come and they go and they're gone.
Yeah, that's exactly why theater is so wonderful. It's because it's what's happening in that room right now between you and us, and it never happens again. It can't be recreated. You can go through all of the same motions, sing all the same songs, do all the same things, and you're not going to have the same result. It's always different, and it's always changing based on who's there and what's happening.
And so we saw the show again tonight, and we had a new Jean Valjean and a new Fantine and a new Cosette. So you got to see Alfie Beau perform the role properly, you know, not just in a concert version, but full out. What was your impression?
I loved both of the Jean Valjeans. I was quite impressed by. They both had, I think, different approaches to the role, even though it was the same direction. It's the same production, so it's the same staging. Carimlou is more
lighthearted
or loose, and that could have been a factor that it was the last show too. His Valjean was a little more easygoing, and whereas Alfie Beau, you really felt like the convict that he was continued to be inside him for the rest of his life. You felt like he could be dangerous at any given moment. I didn't feel that way from Ramin.
Well, and I think that's a really interesting way that you've put it, because we both saw on Alfie Beau's Facebook that one of the things that he chooses to do as Jean Valjean is wear his convict socks. He wears the socks as part of the convict all the way through the show.
Right.
So it doesn't matter how far he's come with money. It doesn't matter how far he's come with raising Cosette. He is a convict at heart. And and I was looking for it, but I never saw them.
Well, it's something that haunts him his entire life. And that's mirrored by his relationship with Javert, who's the policeman who hunts him through his entire life.
I also found that Alfie Beau's relationship, or his Jean Valjean relationship with Javert was different. And it almost felt like a relationship.
Yes, like two great boxers, you know, who meet like for four iconic fights in their career, or you know, two great tennis players, you know, who meet in Wimbledon 4 years in a row. It felt like they both had almost had a respect for one another. They needed each other, basically.
Yeah, and in the whatever that moment's called, when Fantine has died and the two of them are squaring off.
The confrontation
and the chain are flying. And with Alfie Beau, I if he had gone off and punched Javert in the face, I wouldn't have doubted it. It felt dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And I also really loved the moment when Jean Valjean let Javert go. And it's just it was this back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, very tense filled, that was not there with Ramin.
No, I would say, yes, I would say that we were never in doubt that Ramin was going to go and do the right thing and let Javert
yes.
go. And whereas I felt like Beau's portrayal, you weren't sure if he was going to let Javert go. You felt like
you know what? Maybe he will kill him this time.
And it's a perfect example of one of the reasons why we went, why we did this experiment. Because what happens when you take a show that is pretty much, it's a train, right? It has to be a train. There are so many moving parts. There's so much moving furniture. There's furniture that moves of its own accord on and off. And if you are in the way, you risk hurting yourself and getting run over by a table. There's so much moving machinery. How do you make a part your own? And I felt in this case particularly, Alfie Beau had his own Jean Valjean, and Ramin had his own Jean Valjean.
Well, I think that was clearly, to me, built into that production. Whereas the touring show that we saw really did feel like a music video. And by that I mean, it's basically switched on at the beginning and goes, and then ends. This production was clearly directed with actors in mind. Mm. They gave them, I've never seen it where they've given the actors such free rein in the interpretation of the music. They weren't held to strict meter. They were backphrasing like crazy. If you know anything about music, you know what that means. Backphrasing like crazy. They were just changing beats up. And everyone was given that opportunity to do so. The only time everyone was really together was, on the parts where everyone is singing together. But in solos, people clearly were allowed to almost take free rein with their music. And so the positive thing about that was that it really was for the actors. The actors really could put their own spin on the characters within the same context of the same production, but acknowledging that, everybody is different. Everybody's approaching the role from a different place. And that they were allowed to express themselves that way. Even between the two shows, there were a couple of ensemble members who were noticeably different in their track. Like, they're playing, 15 different roles in the show, and they're noticeably different characters in those tracks. I think that was a fine aspect of the direction of the show, that was allowed to happen.
Yes, I would say it's and I can't believe I'm saying this, because I'm an ensemble girl, and I love when I see ensemble doing business. A couple of times I'm like, guys, I get it. Chill out with the business. Like, the business in the Thénardier song, Master of the House, it overwhelmed the song. I'm like, I loved it. I watched a piss pot end up in some wine that I thought was just choice. Okay, so let's just leave. I want just one more very vivid example of making a character your own with the Valjeans, and it really show the difference between Ramin and Alfie Beau. There's a moment where Valjean gives little Cosette a doll, and he pulls it out of his sack, and the doll's head is on backwards. And it happened twice, so obviously this doll has got a loosey-goosey head. So when Ramin pulled the doll out, he made a pretty big deal about the fact that the doll's head was on backwards, and turned it around in character, got a laugh. Alfie Beau, he picked it up, left it in his lap, saw the head was on backwards, very small shift, gave the doll. There was no... Alfie Beau was business. His Valjean was all business. His Valjean would not have done that. Ramin's Valjean got laughs during the Thénardier's song. Mm. In Alfie Beau's, it was very clear, and I can't remember if the Thénardier's reacted the same way to Ramin, but they were scared of him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was... that was great. So now we're going to talk about a compare and contrast, the Fantines. And I'm not sure what to say, because the first Fantine, and I'm not going to name these girls because I'm going to say something not nice. These ladies, they're not girls, they're women. The first Fantine was fantastic. The one we saw on Saturday night, again, she's been with the show a long time. It's not a part that I enjoy. And I was riveted by that journey. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's because the way things got in this new rendition, if things got shuffled a bit. But Fantine's journey really struck me, and her portrayal struck me.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
I loved her. Actually, I do like that role. If nothing for the fact that I'm jealous of that role, because you get to have one of the best songs in the show.
And you go and away.
You can hang out in your dressing room. Before intermission, you're done. It's great.
And I will say, that song has a couple of... It has, my favorite adaptation moment, because the song takes about, I don't know, 4 chapters of the book and condenses it down to 1 stanza. And then it has my favorite line, the whole, the tigers come at night with their voices soft as thunder. I just love the imagery of that. But anyway, so great. Our Tuesday night, Fantine, so she's new to the company. She's not new to Broadway. But her other shows were not in this style. And I frankly thought she was having a seizure on stage, the way that she performed the role. You felt she was just out of breath.
I felt that she was very... I'll tell you why I think that now even more. I felt that she was very nervous. She was not able to take in enough air to sing through an entire thought, which is... Those are very short phrases that are in that song. There's very few long phrases in that song. She was breathing in the middle of like 4 or 5 word phrases, taking a breath in the middle of a sentence, which is, you know, it's not good technique. A breath in singing takes you through a phrase, takes you through a thought. You don't take a breath in the middle of a thought. She was doing that throughout that song. Now, but what tells me that she was nervous or that something was up there was that at the very end of the show, when Fantine comes back to take Valjean to the afterlife, she wasn't doing any of that.
Hmm.
Her singing was clean and measured. And so I'm not sure what was going on. I don't know if it was an anomaly or what, but
see,
I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt.
I've always thought that was supposed to be the showcase role, that's a seasoned... Didn't Patti LuPone do it, for heaven's sakes?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. It just was weird to me that someone who would get that nervous was... it just wasn't her first rodeo. So I don't know. I don't... It was a very strange... it was a very strange thing, and I think that her performance alone led to a very strange rhythm in the first act. It was not as fluid. There was a cocoon kind of rhythm.
There was a feeling that something was going wrong in that first act to
yeah.
me. I don't know what was happening.
Lines were missed.
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened, but there was something funky going on backstage. I want to talk about one more thing before we go, too. I want to talk about seeing a show that close, like a second time,
yeah.
that close to the first time.
Yes.
I think back on, you know, shows I've seen, maybe you do too, about, you know, favorite memories, shows that you've seen that have moved you,
mm-hmm.
shows that you wish you could see again, you know, in the same context, you know, see it, relive it again. And seeing it a second time tonight really highlighted for me that those things really just exist in that one moment. And you can never go back and see them again and experience them again. And to treasure what it was that you loved about that show that you saw. Because seeing it the second time, I found myself not being in the moment watching the show. And this had nothing to do with the cast. This was all just me. I found myself wondering about a set piece that shows up later in the show. And, oh, where does that come from? Because there's something else there now. And that scene's coming up. So how do they get that there? Or, you know, when Javert jumps off the bridge, and there's quite a beautiful effect with him falling into the water.
Yeah, you and I were both going.
We were both kind of staring and trying to figure out how that effect is done.
When's the clip off? There it is.
So when you see it that close together, it really takes some of the magic away. And so one thing I'll take away from this experience is to always look back fondly on the shows that I see and you know, keep those memories and treasure them and just celebrate that that's the one and only time you're going to have that experience. And that's not a bad thing. And that's what's beautiful about what it is that we do.
For me, it was so interesting to see the different energies, in that a closing has a much different energy than an opening. And that a closing, it's the end of the race, really, it was the end for Romain, and he was just the looseness, and I use that as a compliment in his bring him home, and oh my gosh, at the opening of the show when he rips up his whatever that card is, and ripped his shirt off, and he was saying goodbye, and he was saying goodbye to this part. And I felt the same way with Fantine, that they were saying goodbye to something, a treasure. And the energy of an opening is just not the same. Alfie Beau was all business, and I think he should be. He's there for the long haul. He is at the beginning of his marathon. Mm-hmm. And he has to, there is a settling in, and new people create new dynamics and new energies. It was very interesting to me, the new Cosette, who in the first act I went, I can't tell the difference between the two Cosettes, which I think is a compliment. She means she fit right in. But her energy with Marius was quite different when they got to more of their love stuff. That seemed to really start to gel. And it was like, oh, she's going to fit in just fine here. She's going to mm-hmm. have a home here because she can fit in the energies. And then it was very interesting because when we got into the Angerle stuff, because all of those people were the same, that's when things really settled in for the show, because the energy was consistent. It wasn't new people. It was that same thing. And I enjoyed Sunday's show more for all of those reasons. And because theater is a magical thing, to be able to witness people saying goodbye to an actual person, mm-hmm. that layer on top of the character layer was a unique experience. So one thing I'd like to, I'd just like to end by, you know, if you're listening to this, maybe you're listening this is a great compare and contrast sort of thing that we've got going on here. If you would like to elongate the lesson in this kind of thing, why don't you get students to do some research and find YouTube videos of different actors playing the same part. And Les Mis is a great one to do this with, because there are gazillion actors who have played Eponine and Jean Valjean and Marius, and just do your own compare and contrast exercise where you see, you know, three people sing Bring Him Home, or you get three actors who sing the A Little Fall of Rain. Oh, what's the one? On My Own, the Eponine one. And compare and contrast. What are the similarities in the performances? What are the distinct differences? How does the actor make that character their own? Okay. I think it's probably too late. It's late. Not too late, but late. And it's time for us to wrap this sucker up. Thank you very much, Craig Mason.
Thank you very much, Lindsay Price.
Bye.
Ugh.
Such an interesting experience. Love it. Okay, and just wait until you hear what Craig and I are doing next. I'll give you a hint. Shakespeare, Norwegian. Okay, that's two hints. And they're pretty big too. But you'll have to wait for a later podcast to find out more. Before we go, let's do some theater folk news. It's a play feature. It's a play feature. It's time to feature a play. I'm going to talk about a new middle school play of mine called Box. So sometimes we choose the way the world sees us. What are exterior boxes, right? Black box and indestructible. Jewelry box, plain on the outside, shiny on the inside. Sometimes our boxes are defined by others, by our parents, our friends, our enemies. A box built by others can feel small and confined and impossible. This is a really big point, I think, in middle school. How are we defined? How do we define ourselves? And what happens when we are defined by others? Such a big thing in middle school. And how do we handle the boxes imposed of us? How do we handle the boxes imposed on us because of gender or race or peer pressure or parent pressure? Do we live with this box, this way of the way that people see us for the rest of our lives? Is it possible to change? I've really come to love writing middle school plays. I think it's important. I think it's so important to give this particular group of students a voice because they have things to say and they have complex thought and they want to be heard. And I really love playing a very tiny part in being able to give middle schoolers a voice. So that is Box. You can go to theaterfolk.com to read sample pages or click the link in the show notes. What are those? Well, they are right here at theaterfolk.com/episode156. Finally, where, oh, where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every second Tuesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk and on the Stitcher app. You can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search for the word Theater Folk, and that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.